Father, we just thank you again for this evening, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity just to meet together, Lord, the freedoms we have, Lord, the precious word and salvation through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you just meet with us now this evening. I pray you give us what we need, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you. I pray in these songs that we sing, Lord, that we lift our voices unto you and just praise you because you're worthy of it. And we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So if you're able to stand, we'll start on page number 580 in the blue handbook. Page 580. Because the majority of men could not make it on the 11th, so we're having to push it a week further out to April 18th, which most of the men will be able to be here for that. So the installation service will be April 18th at 2:30. Pray for me also. Pastor Reddy called me on my way over here this evening, so he's supposed to call me back tomorrow morning, so pray about that. Lord willing, Sunday I also have those survey sheets for the Sunday evening times. And there was one other thing. And I think that's it. Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
The bylaws template?
The bylaws, I'm still working on that. So that's still in the process, trying to get that done. Also, Sunday, Lord willing, Sunday, we're going to, I've had some ideas as far as the gift basket goes. But Sunday I'll have more details on what we're going to try to put in it, how we're going to do it. I already have the baskets. We'll have it set up in the back. I'll set up a table back there, and we'll also have a list of some things and try to put in there specifically to try to make it uniform for all. I believe we're going to have 5 baskets. I might do 6, just have an extra one just in case. But we'll have that. I'll have more details on that Sunday morning. Working on the bylaws. Also, the cards for Sister Rachel, if you still want to do that, have them, I think, to Brother Mark by April 8th. That's a Thursday. Yes, ma'am.
What is this installation thing? Because I wasn't here on Sunday night.
So it's basically the, I don't want to say official, it's kind of like a special meeting to kind of transition, say that I'm not a pastor here. Brother Matt Renzi's going to come up and kind of officiate. I've never done an installation meeting before. I don't think this church has ever had one either. So it'll be new for all of us. So we'll have to see. But all the men that are going to come up that have helped out through the years, preaching and filling in, so they'll all be here. We'll show our appreciation to them. We want to do the gift basket and get gift cards for them. And then Brother Matt Renzi is going to do a little short little service for it. So we'll see how it goes. Be the first one. So, amen. Brother?
The only other thing I know of is the help we're going to give to Sister Kathy this coming Sunday will be the last for that.
Mm-hmm. So for Sister Kathy, if we want to put anything in that low offering box back there, this Sunday will be the last time we're going to do that. What I'll do is I'll switch that box over Sunday evening to the survey slips. So we'll work it out that way. So I don't want to get another box to put in there. All right, if you take your blue hymn book, let's go to page number 624, Count Your Blessings. Page number 624, Count Your Blessings. Prayer requests that would like to be added to the sheet. Somebody have an additional prayer request? Brother Chris?
The man I asked for prayer last week, would be father-in-law of my daughter Kimberly in Germany, mm-hmm. has passed. They pulled the plug on him because the doctors convinced him that he would not be a viable life if he should survive. But pray for Kimberly and her and the extended family because she's in a delicate situation.
Mm-hmm. Keep Kimberly in prayer. And also her father-in-law, the health situations he's facing.
Well, no, he's dead.
Oh, he died? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Yeah, no, he died. They had to pull the plug on him.
Okay.
He was on life support.
Okay. Sorry.
But the mother and the her boyfriend.
Okay. So keep that family in prayer.
I'm lost. I should.
Sister?
Pastor Bill Wingard from North Carolina passed away before the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Keep that family, Wingard family, in prayer with his passing. Sister Sharon?
Please, I know that they're already on the prayer list, but keep Jeremiah and his family on the prayer list. Pray that the Lord will enable me to be able to go and visit with them, see where they are, hopefully be able to invite them up to church. And also, I'll pray for her, keep my daughter Tiffany before the Lord and for her poor children that sometime in April, or maybe by Mother's Day, I'll be able to go and visit. She's my strange. The prayer that the Lord will open up her heart and that I will be able to convince her to be able to come out to church. And also, please keep the. I reached out to Peggy and her daughter, and also to Natalina. Okay. So I'll just keep them, please, in prayer. I would like to be able to see them all come out to church.
That's right. We'll do. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, my grandson Stephen, Rachel's oldest, had his wisdom teeth cut out today. I didn't know they even did it when you're 13, but they said that it was pushing on nerves and on the teeth. And they had said it should be a pretty easy process. We went this morning and they did it, and it actually was a little more involved than they thought. They were in deeper than they expected, and they had to dig a little deeper. But he's doing okay. He's a little swollen. It hurts. So if you pray for his recovery. It was all four of them, so all four sides.
That's one thing I'm thankful for. I never had to have my wisdom teeth taken. So I'm thankful for that. A lot of positive stories coming out of that.
I want to pray for little Joshua because he had some dental work done. Pray that that he'll recover from it, and also pray for Manuel that he will come to know Christ as Savior and that he will be able to come out and visit with us. So I'm sorry.
That's fine, no problem.
I pray for my friend here too.
We'll be praying for you. I'm glad you came out again this evening. It's good to see you. Anybody else? Brother Sam?
Yeah, I have some friends, the husband and wife, Nate, Raymond and Kathy, just give you the first names. There's a health need for both of them plus salvation. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then also Sister Barbara made a request. I couldn't hear what she said.
She said, keep the Wingard family in prayer. He passed away this last couple of days ago.
Okay, thanks.
Could you repeat the wife's name, Sam? I didn't catch it.
Kathy.
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 Yeah.
Raymond and Kathy.
Raymond and Kathy.
Got it.
Thank you.
Sister.
Mike.
Brother-in-law Dave has had 4 surgeries in 2 months. He's going downhill. He had 2 strokes. No, he's had 4 mini strokes now. He's still in the hospital. He was supposed to have some kind of surgery today where they go in through your intestines to see the back of your heart, to see if the stent he had put in is bleeding. It's just a mess. He is a Jewish man. He is not saved. I've had conversation with him, and he very much doesn't want to talk about Jesus. But my sister's very upset. This is the one that lives in Arizona, Robin's husband. So just pray for him.
Okay.
For everything.
So keep Dave in prayer. He's going through a lot, especially for salvation.
Last week I had mentioned Pete Heise, our missionary to Romania. He is home now. They did put a defibrillator in, and he's doing a lot better, and he is back home.
Good.
And if you want to mention Margo.
Yes, keep Margo in prayer also. She was diagnosed with cancer in both her kidneys.
Oh.
But she's decided not to have anything done. She just wants to go home in peace, so just keep her in prayer as she has to deal with that. And then also Miss Florence, keep her in prayer as well. Just that the Lord would just be with both of those ladies. Is anybody, brother?
I talked to Brother Bob Strong today, and they have they still don't have a pastor yet, but this Sunday they have a fellow coming who is what he considered to be a strong possibility for a candidate. And he was a missionary to Romania. I can't think of his last name right now. But they have a fellow coming, so I told them we'd ask for prayer for that situation.
What was the name of that church again?
Friendship Baptist Church.
Friendship. So keep Friendship Baptist Church in prayer as they seek guidance for a pastor and the possibility of the individuals coming this Sunday. So just keep that church in prayer. Anybody else have anything? Brother?
First, just keep my dad in your prayers. He's been pretty sick.
Okay.
He went home from church Sunday, and like, apparently his vertigo has been like out of control.
Okay.
And these past few days, he's been pretty sick. And I guess apparently he's been really, it's been happening more and more often lately, so I don't know what's really going on there, but
mm-hmm.
Just pray that they can get a handle on that. And then also, I mean, I'm not sure how many people have heard yet in the church, but me and Erica got engaged, so
cool.
Just pray for us to get everything dealt with to get married, which is going to happen very quickly. You guys will hear more details about that coming soon. And also, most importantly, that we will keep the Lord as the foundation of our marriage.
Amen.
Amen.
So they got engaged, what, Sunday afternoon? Yep. So just keep them in prayer as they go forward with the wedding and trying to get that all together. And that God would honor and help them as they take this next step. Does anybody else have any other prayer requests? So let's take our Bibles this evening.
And I'm going to first, the message this evening is one of my favorite things to preach on.
I say that facetiously. It's on patience. I don't know about you, but patience is like one hard thing for me. I mean, maybe if we just went back to horses, it wouldn't be too bad. With having patience. But it seems when we added cars into the mix, that kind of hurts trying to implement patience into our life, at least for me anyways. But patience. And we're just going to continue on here in 2 Peter. Turn your Bible there, 2 Peter. I'll pick up here in verse number 4, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. Second Peter chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So if you look back at verses 1 through 3, I'm not going to go over this evening, but Peter's telling the brethren that this letter has gone to, that there's great and precious promises for us in what God has for us when it comes to salvation. And he says that we might be partakers of the divine nature. You see, God just doesn't want us to be stagnant in our growth. Okay, the Lord wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be further along than we were 2 or 3 years ago, or whenever you got saved. The Lord wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Does it make sense? You wouldn't want your child to stay at 2 years old the rest of their life. Any good parent, anybody that loves their child, wants to see them to grow. You enjoy each age, but you just don't want them to stay at one. You want to see them grow. And it's the same way with the Lord. The Lord doesn't want to see us stay at age one. He wants us to grow in our faith and knowledge of Him. And Peter says here in verse number 4, to be partakers of the divine nature and for a purpose of escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, to grow towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse number 5, he goes and says this, and he says, besides this, giving all diligence. So besides what he listed in verses 1 through 4, he says, besides this, he says, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And we looked at it a few weeks ago. We covered virtue. Basically, that is just doing right. What you know is right to do in your heart and in your soul, according to the Word of God, just do right with what you know. That's basically what virtue is. And then he says, add to virtue knowledge. Okay, so you're starting to try to do right. You're trying to live with the things that you know are in God's Word. And then he says to you now, he says, listen, I want you to add to that now knowledge. I want you to get into the Word of God yourself, and I want you to start adding to your faith virtue, and I want you to start adding some knowledge about what does the Word of God say. Okay? And I said this Sunday, and I mean it, you need to spend time in the Bible. You need to spend time in the Bible, and then you need to find yourself a local church and be a part of a body of believers, because the Bible says in Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay? So you have your own Bible study time, your own time you spend at home in prayer and in learning about the Scriptures, and then you come to church and you learn about the Scriptures, and then what you get at church, you try to take it home and you meditate on it and you ruminate on it, and you try to get more out of what you got on Sunday. And it's not anything that I say, it's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. You see, sometimes you might think, well, why is he saying, is it... Does the Holy Spirit bear witness to you about it? If He does, then take it and go with it and meditate on it and try to grow from it. Why? Because we're going to add to our faith virtue and a virtue knowledge. And then last week we looked at temperance. All right? Basically moderation. Being moderate in all areas of our life. Moderate in our appetites and in our passions. Once you start having temperance, you're going to start seeing something else begin to grow, and that's patience. So it says in verse number 6, add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So the next building block here in this list is patience. Okay, there's three derivatives of the word patience in the Bible. You have patience, you have patient, and you have patiently. Okay, in the Old Testament, those three words, actually two of those words, patient and patiently, are only mentioned three times in all the Old Testament. So if you go to the Old Testament and look for patience, you're not going to find it in the Old Testament, basically. The New Testament, you find it 45 times in the New Testament. Patience. Have patience. Have patience. Have patience. And usually it's dealing with other individuals. Having patience with others. Now this is what patience means. It means the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, those provoking you, or other evil. Now, see, if the definition cut short right there, we'd probably be all right a little bit. But it says, with a calm, unruffled temper. That's where I run into trouble.
Amen.
And that's the end of our service. Let's just cut it short right there, Rock. Oh, I mean, when you look up definitions of words in the Bible, especially if you get an 1828, I recommend this, King James Bible, get you an 1828 dictionary, and you can spend forever studying just one word. Because listen, we've gone downhill as far as our vocabulary goes. To say that we're advancing and we have more knowledge, no, we're getting dumber and dumber as the days increase. Brother Jim gave me a book that I think Pastor Freeman ordered, and there used to be a ministry of a couple here. A woman used to take the book and she'd get a newspaper and she'd find out who was having a child, and then she'd write him a little letter and she'd email him this book on child training. I can't. Have you read that book, brother? Has anybody?
I read some of it, yes.
I'm reading. They're just the first chapter. In the first chapter, they were talking about in the 1960s how they were concerned with how kids were being raised and trained and how they had problems in school. In the 60s. Mm-hmm. Imagine if those same people could look at the 2020 right now. So, what did the Egyptians write on the sides of the wall in a pyramid? What were they called?
Hieroglyphics.
Doesn't that kind of compare to emojis today?
Yeah.
Do you not see? We're going backwards. We're cutting short our words. We don't even spell out whole words no more when we're texting. TY, thank you. We can't even write thank you out. It's TY. Do you see? We're going backwards instead of forwards with our knowledge. And when you do that, when you make language simpler and more simple and more simple, it's not sharp and direct to what God wants to get to the point on. And I'll give you an example. I said it before in here. In Haiti, you can say li 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 li, and I mean, that can mean he or she reads their book. That is not to the point. Okay, that is not a sharp and distinct language. Whereas the King James Bible, what was written back then and what was translated in the English, is sharp. And I say all to say that when you look up a word in the 1828 dictionary, so often I got to look up two or three words in the definition of the word that I'm looking up to try to figure out what is the deep meaning of that word. And that's one of the reasons why I don't believe you need to go to the Greek and Hebrew. You need to know your own language first. Your own language is deep and sharp. Okay? So get you a dictionary. Open up the dictionary. If you don't know what a word means, find out what the word means. Don't be lazy. See, we want to. Don't be lazy about it. Take it and study. And find out what that word means just in the English. And then you'll have a nice little study just on patience. So it says with a calm or unruffled temper. So you could say, well, I have patience, but inside you're grumbling. And God says, no, 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 you ain't passed the test. So, endurance, look, this is another part of the definition. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. A calm temper, perseverance. It means the quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. That's patience. That's a big definition. The Bible says in Psalm 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That was in Psalms. We could apply that today. There's many wicked men out there trying to devise plans and trying to get them to pass. But the Bible says, fret not. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Because again, we have an expected end. Now, take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. So, we're adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Look at Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. Jesus speaking here a parable to the people. Luke chapter 8 verse number 4. And he says, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, seeing that they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now, what I find very interesting about this is the Lord saying, look, you're going to get where your heart's at. You know, if your heart, this is what I believe, if your heart desires truth, I believe God will get you truth. I really do believe that. But if your heart is just to get religion or just pay your dues or I'm just going to go through the motions or I'm going to try to get some advantage out of this, God sees that and God's going to close your eyes and your ears to where you're not going to see or you're not going to hear, even if it was right in front of your face. That's why He spoke to them in parables. Because they didn't really care to see. They didn't really care to hear. They were more focused on themselves and maybe a selfish motive. And the Lord says, no. No. Jesus says here in verse number 11, now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he says the parable, he says that the word is the seed. And this is what I used to tell individuals, even the kids that I work with at the juvenile center. If you want to know truth and you desire to know God, pick up a Bible and start reading it. And I can rest in that. I'm not concerned about your salvation. If I know and I can see you have a desire to read the Word of God and get in it and start studying it, I believe God's going to bring you along. Because He's seen you desire to know truth. Jesus says here to them, the seed is the Word of God. What do you do with the Word of God? Does it just sit off on a shelf somewhere gathering dust, or are you constantly in it? Okay, he says in verse number 12 or verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation they fall away. Verse number 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and or keep it and bring forth fruit with much patience. Listen, one of the aspects with patience is this. God desires for fruit to be in our life. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. But you've got to have patience. You can't expect that overnight something's going to happen. Do you understand? You say, you get home tonight or this week and you say, Lord, help me with whatever I got going on in my life. Lord, I want to grow in my walk with You. Don't quit when it doesn't happen within a week. Do you understand? See, sometimes we expect it to just change instantaneously. Well, Lord, I prayed for patience and ain't nothing happening, God. And our first reaction is, it doesn't work. How many times I saw that working as a chaplain? Well, I prayed and God didn't do anything. Well, how long did it take you to get into this mess? And how long have you been letting this go in your life? And all of a sudden we expect God to fix it overnight. God's not going to fix it overnight. He desires for you to have fruit, but the Bible says here, bring forth fruit with patience. Allow God to work in your life. Don't quit. You fall down, get back up, keep going forward. And before you know it, you're going to start having some of that fruit that you desire. But it comes with patience. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. John 15 and 1. Verse number 1. Jesus says to His disciples and those that were there, He says, it's a continuation on from the first part of chapter 13. The Lord's talking here and He continues on in chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, if you desire fruit in your life, one principle that God gives us here in John chapter 15 is that the Father is going to purge it. He's going to prune it. He's going to cut it back. He's going to do work on you. that's probably going to be painful. It's probably going to be uncomfortable. It's probably not going to be fun. But the Father's allowing these things to occur in your life so that you'll bring forth much fruit. You'll bring forth more fruit. Because that's what He desires. Verse number 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to abide in him, and he in you. Now, if you're saved, that's a fact. John chapter 15 here, they aren't born again yet like we're born again. Because a comforter hasn't come. You'll see that if you read on through chapter 15 and verse number 16, Jesus says, wait for the comforter. He'll come, he'll abide in you, and you'll be in me. This is before the cross. They haven't been born again of the Holy Spirit yet, because he hasn't died and made atonement yet for our sins. And he tells him, he says, listen, I want you to wait. But while you're waiting, he's saying, abide in me. Remember, Jesus says, remember the words that I've spoken to you. Look back over at John chapter 14 and verse number 23. This is a continuation on of this conversation he's having with his disciples after the Last Supper. He says in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you love him? If you love him, your love is exhibited by spending time in his words. And to what purpose? What purpose does Jesus want you to spend? That you may bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse number 6 in chapter 15. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now that's not losing your salvation. Okay? Again, this is before the cross. You have to rightly divide. And I ain't got time to go into studying all this, but this kind of goes back to Ezekiel chapter 15. And he's still talking to Jews. This isn't the Gentiles here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. This is his disciples. Okay? So we're not going to go into that this evening, but verse number 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now you say, well, Brother Chris, why did you bring this up if this is him talking to his disciples and they're to bear much fruit? Because it's the same thing that happens after the cross. God desires for fruit to be in our life. Some of that fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, good. Those fruits God wants us to exhibit in our life. You say, well, if that in John chapter 15 is written before the cross, what do you have that's after the cross that kind of bear witness to what you're saying? Well, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. How do you bear much fruit as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 8. And I'm not going to read through the whole verses. If you want to go back later on, look at verses 1 through 9. But basically look at verse number 6. For to be Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Brother Chris, I don't have no peace. I don't have no peace. I constantly have anxiety. I constantly wonder about things. I constantly struggle with things. There's just no peace in my life. How much time do you spend reading your Bible? Are you feeding the carnal man? Are you feeding your flesh? Or are you feeding the spirit? You see, God's left us here still in this body. And he says, for to be carnally minded is death. You keep living after the flesh and feeding the flesh and doing what the flesh wants to do, the end of that's going to be death. There's just no way around it. But if you start feeding the Spirit and living in the Spirit and trying to walk in the Spirit, the Bible says that you're going to have life, you're going to feel alive, you're going to feel like doing stuff, you're going to feel like trying to live for God because you have life, because you're feeding the Spirit, and you're going to have peace. Verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. When we live carnally, when we live in the flesh, it's as if we're an enemy towards God. God does not want us to be in that spot. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay? So walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because you can do both, or you can do one or the other. Now, another thing we need patience for is the Lord's return. Take your Bible from Romans and flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5. We need patience to bring forth fruit. We need patience as we wait for our Lord's return. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Take your Bible from there and look over at 2 Peter chapter 3, the same book that we're in, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. Because look what's going to happen in the latter days. The further we go on, the further that the Lord allows us to go on. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4. Well, look at verse 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and to perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is that all should come to repentance, and he's not slack. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing. He's not up in heaven somewhere, falling asleep on a back bed somewhere, and has no clue what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on, and the Father knows exactly when he's going to send his Son to come back and get us. Okay? But the Bible says that's come scoffers in the last days. Where's the promise of his coming? You Christians have been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be returned for ages. And look how bad things continue to get. Where's the promise of his coming? He's not coming back. He's not going to come back to get you. The Bible says to wait patiently. Have patience. Don't let what goes on in this world and in the news you hear cause your feathers to become ruffled. Let's go back to the definition of patience: the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness, a calm temper. And I've said this before, when you have a calm temper, when everything else around you is going to pot, and you're calm and you have patience, people are going to notice that. And I believe as long as the Lord has us here, there's still individuals that need to hear and desire our desiring truth. I don't think the Lord would have us here if there's nobody out here, even in our local community here, just in Pennsylvania and Allentown or this surrounding area, that there's not somebody here that at least desires to hear truth. I don't believe that. It may just be two people in this whole community. I don't know. But if it's just two people, is it not worth just two people? Is it not just worth one? Yes, it's worth one. And then if it's none, that's none of our business anyways. It's God's business. God requires us to stay faithful. And to be a witness and to be a testimony for him and to bring glory, honor in him, even if nobody gets saved. Think of the testimony of the martyrs as they were burned at the stake. And some of those martyrs, by them going to the stake and the attitude that they had right before they died, it pricked individuals' hearts around them that those individuals said, those martyrs have something. Because there's no way you can go through what they're going through and have the peace and joy that they have. Because it makes no logical sense to the mind how you can sing a hymn when you get ready to get burned at the stake and you're praying for those that are persecuting you. You're either going to drive them crazy or you're going to, by your example, you're going to cause them to break and try to find out why you're the way you are. Do you see? See, brethren, the Lord wants us to get to a point to where it's not about us, but it's all about Him. Unselfishness. That's what it comes down to. Because was not our Savior unselfish? He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Do you know one of the stories in my Bible that I just don't understand is how Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Stop sometime this rest of this week and think about that for a moment. The Creator, you say God doesn't love you, God's not love. The Creator getting down on His knees and washing His creatures, those He created, washing their feet. Well, God manifested in the flesh, washing their feet. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that's going to come back riding on a white horse with a vesture dipped in blood, and on his that vesture has a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, washing those disciples' feet, knowing that, if I'm not mistaken, knowing that one of them is going to betray him. All of them are going to forsake him. One's going to deny him. Yet he gets down and washes their feet and sets the example for us. And God forbid we get to home to heaven someday and the Lord look at us and say, you lived a selfish life, you thought all about you, and I went down there and I washed their feet. You want to talk about a rebuke? Well, I couldn't do something like that. You know one thing I appreciate about my pastor, anybody that goes out of our church down here at King James Bible Baptist Church, whether missionary or pastor, he sets up a service, women on this side, men on this side, and he goes through himself first as a pastor and washes all the men's feet. And then the man get ready to go into ministry, he gets down and he washes all the men's feet. Women likewise, all the women's feet and all of them. You want to talk about two times we had that happen in our church? No, three times. You want to talk about God getting into service? You want to talk about breaking down barriers, brothers between brothers that might have enmity or hatred towards one another? You don't think that won't break you? I don't know what will. You want to talk about humbling people down? And God, what is God? God loves humility. When we get, God hates pride. God hates pride. When we get filled with ourselves and we think we're something, when in reality we're nothing, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. God puts the emphasis on humility and others first and you last. Because He set the example for us and we can't say, well, we didn't know. No, if you read about Jesus, you know. Because that's all Jesus Christ did. He set the example as of being a servant for others. May God help us to do so. The last two things, and we're gonna close up here. You need patience with tribulation, and tribulation will produce patience. I'm not gonna look at the verses, but Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 5 talks about tribulation bringeth forth patience. The next thing, we are to be patient towards all men, especially the aged men. Take your Bible, look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. You want to know what sound doctrine is? You'll find it here in Titus chapter number 2. Sound, solid doctrine. Look what it says. But speak thou these things which become sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. Look at the first thing he says in verse number 2. That the aged men be sober, that they be grave, that they be temperate, that they be sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. You want good, sound doctrine? If you're an aged man, that's the doctrine right there. God desires for you to be sober. God desires for you to be grave. God desires for you to have temperance. God desires for you to be sound in the faith. And then next, in charity and in patience. If anybody in a church should have charity and have patience, it should be the aged men in the church. That's Bob. And it should be an example to the younger men in the church. The aged men are to set the example. Verse number 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? Verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. That's some serious stuff right there, brother. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Well, verse number 6 also, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Verse number 7, all these things show myself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of him. That's sound doctrine, verses 1 through 8 in Titus chapter 2. But having patience, aged men need to have patience. And you say, well, I'm not an aged man, so that exempts me. No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 said, we should have patience with all men. And that covers everybody. Lastly, we need to let patience have her perfect work. And we'll pray. Look at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is not an easy process. Patience, to me, is one of the hardest things to implement in my life. Having patience without an attitude, having patience without murmuring, having patience without complaining. That's a difficult thing. But let patience have a perfect work. Lastly, look at James chapter 1, verse number 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Basically, different types of temptations. Verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That goes back to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And that lines back up with 2 Peter chapter 1, be diligent to add these things to your faith, that you may be partakers of divine nature. You can cross-reference that right back to what we're looking at in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye can be perfect and entire and wanting, or basically lacking, nothing. Okay? So, ask the Lord to help you. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, that I add to my faith virtue, and into virtue knowledge, and into knowledge temperance. And once temperance gets rolling, to where you start seeing some moderation in your life, some control over your fleshly appetites and passions, then ask God, like, okay, Lord, now, Lord, I pray for patience. We were laughing about that today. She's been asking me, she said, you've been praying for patience. I said, no, I've not been praying for patience. And she said, the last 2 or 3 weeks have been a week or time of learning patience. I mean, it just seems like every little thing, it's just to bring out patience. And then so I told her, I said, well, you know what I'm preaching, man? Patience. And so it's just when you pray for patience, God answers that prayer so often. I'll answer that prayer. But yeah, it's one of those times, you know, and the Lord dealt with me one time because I was preaching on something along these lines. And I said, well, I only pray for patience every so often. But then it was like the Lord smote my heart later on, like a couple weeks later. He said, son, you know, you probably should have said that like that. You know? Why not pray for patience every day? So it's like, you because you feel like, well, I can't handle it. Well, the Lord knows what you can handle. God knows what you can handle. He desires for us to have patience. And not to snap back at somebody. Especially like the grocery clerk or somebody. Somebody's just being rude to you. First reaction is just, you just want to snap back at them. Like, why do you have to be so mean? I'm trying to be nice to you. Do I have this sticker on my head that says, be mean to me? I'm trying to, the more nice I try to be to you, it seems like the more mean you get back to me. And when that happens, it's like, well, I have a right. I'm trying to be nice to you. And the Lord says, no, no, bear it. Bear it. Keep bearing it. And keep showing patience, even if it's never shown back to you. That's the difficult part. Even if it's never shown back. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how many times it was shown back to him. Mm-mm. He's our great example. Let's follow our precious Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time this evening. Lord, I pray you help me with this, Father. I know it's in my flesh, it's hard to pray, Father, because Lord, we just so often we just like the things just to go smoothly with no problems, no interruptions, nothing breaking, nothing happening that would cause a disruption to our day. But Lord, your word says that we're to have patience and that we're to let it have its perfect work in our life. Lord, because I believe it's one of those things, dear God, that it will be a candle that will just shine brightly and we can have patience with others that are around us in this world. Lord, there's very little patience in this world today, Father, but your word commands us to have patience, and I pray you'd help us with it. Lord, help us to grow in these things, Lord, in our character. Father, the times that we fall short, the times that, Lord, we might lose our patience with somebody, Lord, if it's possible, Lord, help us to have the character, if it's possible, to go back and apologize. And say we're sorry, Lord, if we lost our patience with somebody. Lord, help us just to be a light. Help us be a testimony. Help us be an example, Lord, to this lost and dying world. Father, they would see you living through us, Father. And Lord, we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. 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 Brethren, love you. Appreciate you. And take a little time here and pray. Okay.